We're continuing to go through the book of Matthew, and our text today is going to be Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. And I pray that the message is impactful for you, as it hopefully is every week, and that your faith will be strengthened in the Lord as we go through this today. Now, we've taken several weeks in our Matthew series to go through the chapter 12. There's a lot of information in chapter 12, so many important lessons for us to learn. There are a lot of practical things that Yeshua is teaching, but there's also a lot of deep spiritual truths. And this is one of those passages where there is just a lot of deep spiritual truth to get through today, even though it's just a few verses that we're going to be going through. Because typically, we go around in our lives and we see what's in front of us. We see the physical, the practical. You know, we interact with people, real people, and we go about our daily lives. But what we have to remember is that there is another dimension going on. There's another dimension or dimensions out there that we can't see, that we really don't experience this with our senses. But it is out there and it is very real. I want to begin by reading a scripture that's not in our text. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I just want to read this one verse. And in Ephesians, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So this is the context, the pretext of what we're talking about today. Angels are real, but guess what? So are demons. And there are spirits, good spirits and evil spirits that are out there. And looking at the Ephesians verse, there's a battle going on. And the battle is going on in a dimension that you and I can't see. The battle is for control over our lives. The battle is for our souls. And in the passage today, Yeshua is alluding to this other dimension. He's alluding to this spirit world with what he's talking about. So for us, we have a choice in our lives. And we're going to get to it when we go through the passage. But the choice we have is, what spirits are we going to let into our lives? You can let in evil spirits, or you can let in the Spirit, the right Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, to fill you up. So let's get right into the text. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. We're going to begin there. I'm going to actually read the entire text, which is just the three verses, just to set us up for the message. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also it will be with this evil generation." Now that whole interplay there with spirits and the other dimension, it does sound a little creepy, doesn't it? It sounds a little outside of the box of what we normally experience in our lives. But, you know, what we have in the media is we have all sorts of TV shows and movies and books that talk about all this stuff. They talk about the spirit world. They talk about all sorts of metaphysical things, spirits, hauntings, etc. You know, back in the day, years and years ago, really before my time, I only kind of seen it on reruns, is, you know, the Alfred Hitchcock series. That's a good example. And then you had shows like The Addams Family, which was all about like the creepy, haunted, spirit kind of world. And then when I was a kid, it was movies like Ghostbusters. And I know they made a couple of other movies, not as good as the original. But anyway, we have all of these shows, we have all of these things that allude to this world. And then even today, we have things like psychics. And we have, you know, haunted houses that they preview on shows and all of these witches and things. It's all sorts of popular now. So it's out there, and it's real. There is a spirit world. So the place for us to start on this today is to really ask, the beginning question we really need to ask is, what is a spirit anyway? With all this talk of spirits, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. With all these talk of other spirits, what is a spirit? Well, one of the Bible reference sites that I use had a pretty good definition to me of spirit. And it said that a spirit is the power by which the human, a human being, feels, thinks, and decides. That sounds pretty important. A spirit can control our thoughts, our decision-making, our emotions, so it has a lot of control over us. So what is an unclean spirit then? When the people would have heard Yeshua talking about spirits, and especially when he said the words unclean spirit, I believe that they would have known exactly what he meant. They would have understood the context, because if you go back to the Torah, there are several chapters in the Torah about what's called Sara'at. Sara'at is that skin condition that people had. And it was a physical skin condition. It wasn't, you know, leprosy, but it was skin ailments, all various skin ailments. And those skin ailments, or Sara'at, could have been it was a physical condition, but it also spoke to a spiritual condition. So the people would have known that we're talking about physical and spiritual. And we would understand, or the people would understand, that Sara'at makes you unclean. So, God had specific commandments in the Torah of how to go from unclean to clean, of how to purge out the unclean in our lives. And really, when you come down to the root of it, uncleanliness boils down to sin. We know this. This is what the Torah teaches us. This is what the whole Bible teaches us. And we have commandments, mitzvah in the Torah. We have the entire sacrificial system, all designed to bring someone from a state of uncleanliness, a sinful condition, to a state of cleanliness. Why? Because God was to dwell with the people of Israel. He was to dwell within the Holy of Holies between the cherubim on top of the mercy seat of the ark. He was to dwell in the midst of their camp, both when they had the tabernacle in the wilderness, he was in the Holy of Holies, right there in the middle of the camp of the nation, and also in Israel, in Jerusalem, when they had the temple, he was right there in their midst. So, in order for a holy God to be with the people had to be holy as well. And in order for a God who cannot be with uncleanliness to be with the people had to be clean. So they would have understood the concepts of unclean and clean. Now in ancient Israel, if we read back in the Bible about ancient Israel, a really good example of an unclean spirit was an idol. The Bible tells us that Israel, or ancient Israel, had a consistent and a constant problem with idols, idol worship, having idols in their homes. We even hear about, you know, some of the patriarchs having idols in their homes. So this was a big problem. We can recall things like the golden calf incident in Exodus chapter 32. We can recall times when Israel worshipped the Asherah poles on the high places, when they worshipped Baal throughout their history. These were all idols, yes, but they had spirits behind them. Evil spirits, unclean spirits. In fact, the nation of Israel went into exile, both the northern 10 kingdoms and really the southern kingdoms in Judah. They went into exile because of idolatry. But, you know, that's one of those concepts like idols where here in America we really don't understand. You know, okay, that's a little wooden god. We don't have those in our lives. We're clean from idols. We're clean from those spirits that could get around those idols. Well, maybe yes, but there are a lot of unclean spirits today, and they're very prevalent in our culture and our society. Some examples are you could have spirits over things like drinking, smoking, drugs, pornography, really any harmful behavior, any ungodly behavior can have spirits attached to it. Remember what a spirit is. A spirit has the power to influence or control us over what we think, over what we feel. This is an important thing. People have all different types of spirits afflicting them and affecting them. You know, I'm just giving you a short list here. People could have a controlling spirit about them. They could have an obsessive spirit. They could have a manipulative spirit on them. They could have a lying spirit or lying spirits on them. And they could have judgmental spirits on them. Turn with me to 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1. And this is John writing to the believers, and he says this in 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, what does that scripture tell us? It tells us a couple of things. Number one, there's spirits flying around, all around in these different dimensions around us that are potentially coming into contact and in our orbit If they weren't, John wouldn't be talking about them in this. So he's saying, don't believe every spirit, because they're going to come up and they're going to try to speak to you. They're going to try to influence you. They're going to try to get around you. But John says we have to have a mechanism to test the spirits, to see, because false prophets have gone out in the world. Sometimes it's hard on the outset to determine and differentiate the spirits, because the enemy, the devil, does a really good job of being clever to disguise those spirits. Remember, the devil, the enemy, was an angel of light, or came as an angel of light. So he's very clever in disguising himself. As I say all the time, if we saw the devil in front of us, who was all red with horns and a big, you know, terrible tail, we would like run in the other direction. Oh, that's the devil, I'll run. But when he comes disguised as something beautiful, something wonderful, something very enticing, then we put our guard down. It's the same way with spirits. He can disguise those spirits, those evil spirits or unclean spirits, and make them appear to be something that they're not, something innocent, something cool, something fun. But point number one in our message today, be aware of and guard against unclean spirits. We must be alert. We must be aware that unclean spirits are out there, and we have to guard ourselves against them. They can come in all shapes and sizes. They can come in all forms. They can seem innocent at first. We must be careful what you and I take in as believers, right? We must be careful what we take in through our eyes. You know, there's a scripture that basically says the eyes are the window to the soul. But we also have to be careful what we take in with our ears. You know, we're very visual in many ways. We have a lot of things coming at us with social media, television, and all those types of media. But also what we listen to, whether it's the radio, television, or whatnot, or any social media. We have to be very careful what comes through our eyes and what comes through our ears. Some people are more susceptible than others of certain types of things. You know, you may have be more susceptible to certain types of spirits, and you have to really guard against those. So we really have to understand and know ourselves and know what we should probably put a guard in our lives against so that we don't bring it into our house. We need to put safeguards around us so we don't let those spirits in or let them speak to us and try to get control over our life. Now, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, this is a very relevant scripture, certainly then, and I think it's a relevant scripture for us today. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Now, some translations may say instead of keep your heart, guard your heart. We need to be guardians over our heart so that we don't let these spirits in. And it can be pretty scary when we think about this stuff. You know, when we're talking about another dimension, things we can't see. I mean, if you could see the spirits coming at you, you could instantly say, "Oop, there's a spirit. I got to get away from that." But when you can't see it, when it's in another dimension, when it's disguised, you have to be very, very careful. And it can be very frightening. But we have to remember something. We have to remember that God is in control. If we're truly following Yeshua, if we're followers of God, we have to know that God is in control of our lives. We have to know that he's protecting us, that he is taking care of us. And we do not have to fear. Because you know what another type of spirit is? There is a spirit of fear that is very prevalent out there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now, this is a great scripture because this alludes to the fact that there is a spirit of fear, but it also tells us not to fear because God is with us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." There is a clear differentiation between evil and unclean spirits and between the spirit of the living God. Now, let's go back to our text today. Go back to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to just read verse 43. We're going to go back to just the very first verse of the text. Matthew 12, 43. "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none." So when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, that's the key point here. Many people work very hard to clean up their lives. What do? They quit smoking. They quit drinking. They quit doing drugs. They clean themselves up, so to speak. And many of them that do that are not believers. It's not just the people that have the Spirit of the living God in them or that walk, you know, following after Yeshua in their lives that can kick habits. Many non-believers, many very ungodly people can kick these habits and sort of clean up their lives from these vices, okay? But they're not followers of Yeshua, but they can do it. Maybe they do it through self-help books, self-help gurus. Maybe it's just the power of positive thinking, or maybe it's just sheer willpower in their lives of not wanting to give in to the vice. And this is really commendable when people can do this, believers and non-believers alike. But as we know, man needs more in his life or her life than just a spiritual or than just a surface cleaning, okay? The cleaning out has to go deep. And I believe that's what Yeshua is talking about. The cleaning out of our lives has to go deep, which means it must be spiritually based. It must be spiritual. And that means that God has to be in it and God has to do it. Because try as we might to cleanse us of our sins, we can't, remember? We have to ask God to cleanse us from our sins. That's truly the way to become clean. When Judah was deep in sin, the nation of Judah, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 7 and 8. Prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the exiles in Babylon, the exiles that left because of idolatry, and they were basically taken out of the promised land. When they were deep in their sin, in the spirit of idolatry, they were sent into exile. And even with all the punishment because of their sin, Adonai told them through the prophet Jeremiah that he would cleanse them. He would cleanse them. Jeremiah 33, 7 and 8. This is God speaking. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. That's a beautiful two verses right there. When King David had sinned horribly, I mean, he had many things that he did that were very sinful in his life. But I want you to turn to Psalm 51. This is a very powerful psalm. And it's Psalm 51, verses 7 to 10, if you want to go there. When David had sinned horribly, in the context of Psalm 51, is after he had sinned with Bathsheba. After he'd taken her as his wife and cast out her husband, you know, had him killed. He knew he couldn't cleanse himself from these very terrible sins. He acknowledged that God was the only one that could cleanse him. Psalm 51, verses 7 through 10. This is what David says. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Whew, that's powerful. And no matter what kind of unclean spirits you and I may have associated with in our lives, no matter what we've gotten entangled with, no matter what we have allowed in at times to our lives, God can and will cleanse us if we allow him to. Now go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua cleanses us from all sin. Not just some sin, but we sin so bad he won't cleanse us of this sin. No, he cleanses us from all sin. Point number two in our message today, allow God through Yeshua to cleanse you of your sins. Allow him to purge out those unclean spirits that may be cohabitating in your homes of your lives. Allow God through Yeshua to cleanse you of your sins, because he can and he will. Okay, back to our text today, Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to go to 44 and 45 now. Then it says, this is the unclean spirit talking, then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also it will be with this evil generation. Now, Yeshua is continuing in this chapter to really kind of hit them directly with things here. The point is, many people clean up their lives. They get rid of unharmful spirits. They make good choices, but they don't ask God to clean up their lives. So consequently, they've got a home that's an empty house. And that empty house has, it's tidy, it's put in order. Sure, looks good, but it is devoid. And also, it is susceptible to spirits coming back in. Now remember, it's not just the one spirit coming back in. It's like he's bringing seven of his buddies back in. This is like eight times the intensity here. So this is kind of like that relapse kind of situation. Israel had learned their lesson. If you go back to ancient Israel for a minute, they had learned their lesson about idolatry. After they came back from the exile, there was not really an idolatry problem within Israel any longer. Now, if you read commentaries on this, if you think about this, if you read like rabbinical talk about this, there really wasn't an idolatry problem after they came back and the Second Temple period happened. It really wasn't a problem with idolatry. However, Israel still sinned in various ways. You could say that they got out one spirit, but then other spirits came in and they were susceptible to that at times, and they allowed those into their lives, those other unclean spirits. But we know, and when we look back at Matthew 12, the people and the leaders had Yeshua the Messiah standing in front of them, right in front of them. And he warns them and he says, you may have cleaned up your life, but you have no space for me. You have no space for God's anointed to come in and fill up that house. Because you know what they were doing? We were reading about this throughout the chapter. They were questioning him, telling him he was a tool of the devil. Some of the leaders were doing this. This was like not accepting him as the bottom line. So they were becoming susceptible because they were not listening to God's word and God's, the person of Yeshua coming in front of them. And he says, when multiple spirits come back into your house, it's going to be worse than before. But you know, a lot of times we can say, well, yeah, those unbelievers out there, they're all susceptible to unclean spirits. But let's take things a step further. Even in our lives as believers in Yeshua, as followers of God, we could go through the process. We could go through the process of cleaning out our lives, you know, accepting the Lord, asking God to purge the sin out of our lives, cleanse us from our sins. But if we are not careful, we can fall back into old patterns and behavior. We can allow spirits to come back into our life if we are not careful about that. We can let things like pride creep in. You know, there's a spirit of pride that is so prevalent today in the body of Messiah. We can let that spirit of pride come in and say, well, look how much I know. I'm going to go and tell everybody else about the spirits in their lives, but I'm okay. My house is tidy. My house is swept up. My house is put in order. Well, it may be, but you also could be susceptible, if you're not careful, to allowing other spirits in that are not godly spirits. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. You know, talking about pride, there's of course the perennial verse on pride. Pride cometh, or pride comes before a fall. You and I are susceptible to pride as believers in Yeshua, just like unbelievers are out there. We are very susceptible to these things if we're not careful. Now, in that 1 Corinthians passage I just read, which is 1 Corinthians 10, 12, the context of the passage is Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is telling the Corinthians, which were believers, be careful. Don't fall into idolatry like ancient Israel. Don't fall into patterns of sin like ancient Israel was involved in at times. Use the examples of the scriptures. This is what he's saying in 1 Corinthians 10. In fact, if you look at the books of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, other epistles, other letters, other parts of Scripture, they are written to believers to warn them. They are written to followers of God to counsel them to be careful. So how do we prevent the unclean spirits from coming back in, right? We could sweep out our houses. We could clean up our lives or ask God to clean out our lives, but we can't afford to let our house remain empty once it's cleaned out. We have to fill it up with something. Let's fill it up with the Spirit, capital T-H-E, the good kind of Spirit that we want to be involved with and have filled up in our lives, the Spirit of the living God. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. We got to fill our houses up with something. They just can't, you know, stay there empty. Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's been given to us. Let's fill up our lives with the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, remember, a spirit has the power to control us. That can be the case with unclean or evil spirits. And certainly it can be the case with God's Holy Spirit. Let's allow the control of God, you know, allow God to have control of our lives, to fill us up, to influence how we think, how we behave, how we conduct our lives. Let that Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, be the influencer in your life and fill you up. Point number three, be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Not with unclean spirits, not with your ego, not with pride, but with God's Holy Spirit. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Romans, and there's so many scriptures on these things. I just pulled out a few that were, I thought, really relevant to what we're talking about in the context. But Romans 8, 9 through 11 says this: "You, however," talking to us as believers, "you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Messiah does not belong to him." Verse 10. "But if Messiah is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Now, that is a super powerful scripture that totally goes along with what we're talking about. Filling up and how we are filled up with God's Spirit. But what this doesn't mean is that now we say, well, I've got the Spirit of the living God. And you go off all super spiritual and then start saying, well, look at me, and you get into pride. Or you start saying, well, I've got to maintain this, you know, Spirit inside of me. I've got to maintain a good vessel for God, and I got to be careful. And what if I mess up a little bit? What if I say a bad word? What if I do this to this person? And we could get so stressed out. We got to stop that. We can't do that, because there is still a battle going on. You know, the Apostle Paul, I don't have time to turn there, in Romans also said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. So don't think we're going to just stop sinning after we allow God to cleanse us and God's Spirit to fill us. There still is, you know, we're still living this life, and we are still very susceptible to things. We have to be careful not to let sin in. We are going to mess up from time to time. We have to understand. But we should be living with God as a priority. We should be focusing on filling up our lives with the things of God. Practically speaking, it's reading our Bibles. Are we reading our Bibles consistently, regularly? Asking God through his Spirit to tell you things, to speak to you. Now, when God speaks to us, it's not always in that loud, thundering voice, you know, with the lightning bolt coming down and the booming voice of God. You know, the prophet Elijah wanted that, and he got a whisper. Many times God will speak to you through a whisper. How does that look? Well, that whisper could come in the form of confirmation from a trusted friend. That whisper could come in the form of just reading something in your Bible, you know, for the daily reading or whatever, and it just speaks to you. It convicts you. It shows you. Maybe I got to change something, or, yeah, I am on the right path on that, encouraging you. That's the Spirit of God. You don't always have to have a booming voice and, you know, like Yeshua appearing to you in the flesh for you to understand, for us to understand or get that. It could be in the form of a sermon that you're listening to, maybe right now, I don't know. It could be in the form of, you know, something you're reading as far as a commentary. All of these things can convict us, can encourage us, can strengthen us in our walk. And it all could be the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God showing us. But we need to practice the discipline of allowing the Spirit to impact us, to fill up our lives. So the message today that we've talked about is pretty heavy. You know, we don't like to think about the spirit world going on, because it can be very scary. Why can it be very scary? Because we've watched too many shows, or we've probably seen too much out there, horror movies or whatnot. But we have to remember that God's got this, and he's got our lives. He doesn't want us to go around with a spirit of fear, with a spirit of anxiety, because again, those are unclean or bad spirits. He wants us to be filled with God's spirit, and God's spirit will be coming to us, and we'll have joy. We'll have peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of all the things that you and I are going through in our lives on a daily basis. God will be in our midst, but we need to understand that the houses of our lives have to be filled up with something, that we need to clean out our lives. So it's a combination of us cleaning it out, because, you know, many times people just sit back and say, well, God, just clean me out, you know, do what you want to do. Well, we have to help too. There's a part that we play of actively working to clean up our lives. There's certainly a part that God plays of coming in and cleansing us from our sin. But then there's also the Spirit of the living God that needs to come and fill us up. So my prayer is that this would go down deep into your soul today in your heart of hearts, and that God would use it to strengthen your faith. Not make us fear more, but encourage us and strengthen us more in the Lord. May God bless you, and Shabbat Shalom.